Six or seven weeks ago, I cut my thumb on a pretty nasty a plumbing pipe that had some pretty nasty stuff on it. And it was not a deep cut. It wasn't much of a cut at all. It was just like a little scrape. And I cleaned it up. I don't even remember if I put a Band-Aid on it. But this little injury became infected. And then it became critically infected and had to go into emergency. I was, they had to cut the hand open, give me a long, very aggressive antibiotic drip. And but the aggressive treatment that I received had some secondary effects. You want to know who the real culprit was? I have a little immune deficiency. It's not a big deal, but I do have it, and it involves my white blood cells. Here's the problem. I've got some lazy white blood cells. When the blood cells are rushing off or even on patrol, I mean, they're like the stormtroopers of the blood system. These guys, they hang out. I think they sleep. They sleep along the side of the artery. And they got into the fight too late. So, shame on them. But anyway, it led to a series of problems. I was in the hospital this past week for a couple days, and not out of the woods yet. And I so appreciate your prayers. Please continue to pray. We just want to get this all resolved and get it all done and get back to normal. I'm not normal yet. Of course, I've never been normal. But that's what happened, and we're in James this morning. We're finishing up James, and I'd like you to turn there to chapter 5. This passage begins in verse 13. I'm going to read it. I'm going to come back to it, but just before we get going on that, I have a little bit of something to say to you. Here we go. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. You will notice in each of these verses that I read, prayer is mentioned. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly, and it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Let's just pray over this text quickly. Lord, this is such an important passage. Some important connecting points to our lives concerning prayer. And as we go through this morning, I pray that you would anoint your servant. Lord, help me to be careful to share your word and the intentions of your Holy Spirit this morning for this time together. In Jesus' name. Now, before we get to this text, there's just something really on my heart, and I just want to say this. Jesus said, We are the salt of the earth. That's in Matthew chapter 5, 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. That's you guys. You're the salt of the earth. You know, sometimes when there's a little crisis in the church, maybe the pastor gets sick, and, you know, so often we, you know, put an undue emphasis upon the pastor. But listen, whatever your calling is, whatever God's will for you is just as important as what I am doing. There's no higher call in your life to do what God wants you to do. And it's a very important calling. And so God has been careful to spread the salt around. And where there is salt, there's healing. Where there is salt, there is... well, there's a lot of things. You know, salt is a preservative. Salt gives flavor. We could talk a lot about salt and the corresponding spiritual application that it has to you and I this morning. But you're the salt of the earth and who you are in Christ. And your place in God's plan is so important. Don't ever think, I'm just a truck driver. I'm just an accountant. I'm just a painter. Listen, you're right where God wanted that transforming salt. You're right there where you can bring flavor and you can bring healing and you can bring all kinds of things. I mean, whatever else, you can make people thirsty, right? You made people thirsty for the Lord. So would you keep that in mind as we talk this morning? And do understand the fact that you're the salt of the earth. But man, if you just stay cooped up in that salt shaker, you know, maybe you've gone camping and you get all the stuff out and here's the salt. Oh my goodness, it's been sitting here for 2 years. It's hard as a rock. And it's salty, but it's not very salty. I don't know, I want to season my camp delights on that stuff. Because see, salt can lose the capacity it's been given. And Amy, we need to stay full of all the wonderful qualities that we have in Christ, so many of which correspond to the physical aspects of salt. So, you know, God wants us out there. And if you're out there, whatever you're doing, serving the Lord, boy, you're the salt that this city needs. Now, we come to the text. And the text says, first, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. You know, basically, to condense that down, it says, you know, whatever your emotional frame of mind, notice we have two kind of opposing frames of mind. Is anybody suffering? And it literally means suffering under difficult circumstances. Pray. You know, listen, all of you that know Jesus, we're here to alleviate suffering. And sometimes we suffer. You know, nobody likes to be sick. But I know God's going to use this minor thing that I've been through for His glory, for His honor. Already, there have been some wonderful benefits that have come as I'll tell you, you know, when you're really miserable, laying in a hospital bed, can't sleep, want to go home. And then you set your mind on Jesus. I'll tell you, it's so good to think that soon we will be with him. And I thought about that a lot. I thought about what it's going to be like to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about what it's going to be like when the glories of heaven all are directed to the King of glory. And we'll be there to see that. I thought a lot about that. And I thought, man, it's going to be so awesome. So, you know, good things happen in the midst of suffering. We're here to help suffering people. We're here to alleviate suffering. There's so much suffering in this world. There's so much suffering in North Long Beach. So much suffering in our community. But how can we help the suffering? How can we be effective if we get caught up in our own suffering? So that's why in suffering, we pray. We focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep him front and center. And the same thing goes with things are going great. Man, they're going great. Hey, let's skip church this morning. Go to the beach, or, you know. And, you know, the praise music is switched to some cool jazz station you like. No, stay focused on the Lord. You know, that's what Jesus said. He said, pray and faint not. The Bible says to be instant in prayer. Paul the Apostle said, pray without ceasing. What did he mean by that? He meant to keep the prayer line open. He meant, you know, always be in tune with the Lord. You know, if you're a soldier fighting, man, you are tuned into sitcom the whole time. Man, you're tuned into the command center. And we need to do that. Life can overwhelm us so easily. Our hurts and our pains can overwhelm us so easily. Stay focused on the Lord. And then we come to these fascinating verses that is really the heart of our study this morning. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, listen. There's a lot in these verses. Of course, we're most familiar with the part that says, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church and have them anoint you with oil. And I do that. When I became sick, I immediately called for some elders from this church to come and pray for me. But the fact of the matter is, there's not always healing. This was not some kind of formula for instant healing. You know, I get out all the suffering. I just call for the elders and bang, boom, it's all gone. It doesn't really work that way. You know, Paul had a couple of key guys that were his servants, and we read about them, you know, getting sick and Paul having to leave one. I think it was in Corinth, and Paul himself, you know, he had something from the Lord, and it was physical in nature, and he prayed that he would be released from that. That did not happen. But sometimes, I think all the time, I think that should be the first resort, that we seek prayer. If we're sick, we seek prayer. We want some elders to pray over us and anoint us with oil. We do that here every Sunday morning. There's oil up here this morning. Or we're available to do that every Sunday morning. You know, I must tell you that sometimes it breaks my heart. Kids are sick. Sometimes they come here sick. Sometimes you're sick. Sometimes you're sick for weeks. Not a sickness that you can't get up and walk around, but you're sick. You need some prayer. We'll come and pray for you. We'll lay hands on you. We'll anoint you with oil. God honors that. Now this goes a little bit further. Talks about the fact that there can often be a link between something we've been doing, maybe some kind of sinful activity where we are actually ingesting something and ingesting that substance, whatever it might be, makes us feel good, but it's bad for us. It's probably unlawful. And yet we do it. Nobody knows we do it. And then it all catches up with us. And the physical dangers that you were warned about, they emerge. And so, listen, call for the elders, get anointed. Confess to them, you know, I've been taking this, I've been using this, I've been doing this. Maybe you've offended someone, and you know it, and you just need to confess that to that person and get anointed with oil. It'll be taken care of. Be gone. Your relationship will be renewed. But so few people, relatively speaking, fail to call for the elders of the church. And who knows what might have happened if they had done that? Who knows what God might have done? In May of 1989, my dad had been struck down several months previous to that with cancer. And he was given 6 or 7 months to live. And but he was told that there was a chance. They had a new chemo protocol, and you know, maybe we can beat this herb. He'd been healthy all his life. The cancer had moved into his lung. I don't think my dad ever smoked more than one or two cigarettes, the experimental ones, you know. But he was not a smoker by any way, shape, or form. And on that May Friday, I got this call from my stepmom. And she said, "John, your father can't get his breath. There must be too much fluid in his lung." They were at home. I said, "Call 911 right now." And I was a pretty good distance away. I tried to get to Torrance Memorial as fast as I could. And when I got there, there were several paramedic units, and they were packing up, getting ready to go back to the station. And I said, "Did anybody respond to a call at 0 Eastfield Drive?" They said, "Yeah, I did," one of the paramedics said. And I says, "Is my dad okay?" They say, "Yeah, he's okay. He just needed some O2. But you need to go in and talk to the emergency room physician." I went in, and this guy is about my age. And he said, "I'm so sorry to tell you this. Your dad has less than 24 hours to live." And I'm like, "What? What? I'm in a state of shock. How can that be?" And he says, "Look, let me show you something." And he showed me this x-ray of my dad's chest. His right lung was gone, and you could barely see his left lung. He says, "I'm sorry, John. This cancer has grown like fetal tissue." And at the very best, he'll live through the weekend. I couldn't believe it. Called my sister. Finally, we were able to see my dad fairly late in the evening. And you know, it's hard. Still remember that moment when Dad, under an oxygen tent, and I finally got to talk. You know what he said? You know what he asked me? He said, isn't there something? Isn't there something in the Bible about? I knew he already knew the answer. Just my way, my dad's way of going about things. My dad loved the Lord. About calling for the elders of the church. I said, do you want me to get him, Dad? He says, yeah, go get him. So early the next morning, the guys showed up. They represented three different churches, but mostly guys that I co-eldered with, guys that I knew, guys that I trusted, guys that I knew would pray the prayer of faith. And my mother had passed away two rooms from my dad, and I said to the doctor, I said, would you let me take my dad home? And he said, sure. He said, I got to get some oxygen up there. I got to get some morphine. And he says, but I can do that fairly quickly. So we arrived home about an hour later, and my stepmom said, who are all these people? We had this little, you know, caravan. My dad leading the way, and we can only get this big old oxygen container, and it was sticking up through, you know, he had a hatch there. It was crazy. We all got there, and we gathered in his den, and we just had a wonderful time of fellowship, but we finally came down to praying, and we were, you know, we were just ready. We're just ready to pray. And long story short, I thought my dad was healed. I really did. God didn't heal him, but he graciously gave him 3 months. And there's so many exciting stories about what happened in those consequent 3 months. The reason I thought he was healed is, you know, we were all done. You remember that, Steve? I think you were a part of that. And, you know, by the time everything's said and done, my dad takes his oxygen mask. Oh, no, Dad, you put it back on, you know. And he says, I don't need it anymore. And a short time later, we all had dinner together, and my dad said the blessing in a strong, stable voice. And many great things. You've heard some of the stories over the years, how one day he decided he was going to call people that he'd never shared with before, and he felt so badly that he hadn't done that. And one of them, a decorated World War II hero, you know, treated my dad like he thought he was crazy. But they had been friends, known each other since boyhood. And the day after my dad called him, he knelt down in his living room and received the Lord. We didn't find out about that for 5 years. So we don't know everything that took place in those wonderful encounters and conversations. But we had some wonderful times of prayer. He had this big project he wanted to do, and, you know, he'd go out in his rather large backyard and direct things, and it was just joy. God was so gracious to give him that extra time. I said I thought he was healed. I took him to the oncologist. Guy looks at the x-ray. He says, man, you got to get your dad to ER. He says, you know, never mind, never mind. So my dad was not healed. God just extended the time. And prophetically, he spoke during this prayer meeting and pretty much said what he was going to do. It was awesome. So I believe I believe that you should call for the elders of the church if you're sick. What do you have to lose? You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be automatically healed, but it's an important option. I think I already said this, but you know, my heart breaks when people are sick and they don't come up here and have people pray for them. And that's the first thing I'm going to do. God hears the prayers of his servants and he responds to them. And, you know, even if there is not the physical response that we wish we would have had, there are nonetheless just good things that happen when you are prayed for. So, the end of verse 16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And the example here that is cited is Elijah. And it's very interesting what it says about Elijah. All right, straight up. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. I mean, he was just like you and me. You know, sometimes we think, who am I to pray? You know, we got to get a big-time prayer warrior here. No, no. God will use your prayer. And you can pray an effective, fervent prayer because you're righteous in Christ Jesus. And God will honor your prayer just as much as he will honor anybody else's. And yet, you know, Elijah did an incredible thing. You probably know the story. If you don't, you should read it today in 1 Kings 18 and 19, how that Elijah actually prayed on behalf of the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, who had just completely given themselves over due to the evil influence of Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. They'd given themselves over to Baal. And Baal, the storm god. So Elijah, he prayed. Before anybody knew what was going on, he prayed for 6 months and he went to King Ahab, who would have, with pleasure, cut this guy into little pieces. But this guy stands in the presence of the Lord, and he bows to no man. He doesn't bow to Ahab. And he says, you know, Ahab, it's not going to rain for a long, long time. Ended up being 3 years. So 3.5 years, there was drought in Israel. They wanted to get this guy so bad. But the way it all worked out is they had this big meeting up on the summit of Mount Carmel. Ahab had his 450 prophets of Baal, and then the people of Israel came. And Elijah said, what's up with you guys? Why do you keep going back and forth versus Baal? That's a god of Israel. You're faltering between two opinions. You know, let's make it one or the other. In fact, let's have a contest. We're going to have a contest. We're going to bring two big old bulls up here. And, you know, we're going to ask Baal if he would set this bull on fire. And then if Baal doesn't respond, we'll ask the God of Israel. Elijah, he's a character, man. The prophets, they begin to call to Baal. And Elijah's chiding him. He says, where is he? You know? You think he's asleep? Think he's in the bathroom? He's not doing anything. We're not hearing a word from him. These guys pulled out these little lances and they started cutting themselves. Man, blood's flowing. It's a mess. And finally they're all done. Because Paul ain't home. And then there's a part about this I really like. I really like this. It said that Elijah went and he built up the altar of the Lord. It was all torn down and broken down. And of course, that makes me wonder, do you have an altar? Do you have a place where you go and pray, seek the Lord? Maybe the better question might be for some of you, you know, do you have a war room? Seen that movie? But I definitely myself prefer altar. Do you have an altar, a prayer altar, where you come and lift up praises unto the Lord? Do you have that? You need to. You need to have a place where you can just kind of separate yourself from all the stuff. Turn the TV, internet, turn your smartphone, turn all that off. I say that because I've had some great times with the Lord here recently, and it's been so great. But anyway, man, they drenched this big old bull. They drenched it. I don't know where they got the water. They probably brought it up from the Mediterranean, which wasn't terribly far away. Man, they soaked that thing. And all of a sudden, the fire of the Lord came down. Boom! Came down, just incinerated those pieces of bull. People went nuts. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. But they needed some rain. Still, there's no sign of rain. And Elijah, he puts his head between his knees and kind of in a birthing position, really. And he begins to pray. He sends this servant. He says, you know, get where you can see the whole sky. He says, you see anything? Six times this guy comes back. He says, no, I don't see anything. Seventh time, the servant says, well, I see this little cloud. Elijah says, we better get out of here because it's about to pour rain like you've never seen it rain before. Listen, get this. This is the point. He was persistent. You know, sometimes we've got to be persistent. You don't get it the first time, continue to pray. Continue to seek the Lord, and He will be faithful. So that's our study. But I just want to say this in conclusion. We live, as I said previously, in such a hurting world. And if you're paying any attention at all, you know that in these last hours, relatively speaking, that Satan has, he's a defeated foe. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will tell you something. He's seeking to tear it up. And if we don't know how to defend ourselves, if we don't know how to protect ourselves, if we don't stay spiritually healthy and spiritually strong, He'll get us. Boy, I'll tell you, we're so protected in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for this church. And there's other good churches in North Long Beach, but I'll tell you, even here in our own community, the church is taking a beating. It really is. I can just drive you 4 blocks from here and show you a church that was once a thriving church just a few years ago. It's boarded up. A good church. I knew the pastor. I don't know what happened. I can take it to another church that was fraudulently looted by the leadership, and great church. But there's not much left. And thankfully, there's a church in a nearby community that's trying to pump resources in it to get it going, but they've had a hard time. I could tell you other stories, and believe you me, there are stories that balance these things out, but we're getting hit in North Long Beach. You know, I think that the attacks upon our leadership might be reflective of that. I have a pastor out this morning. Steve was very ill a couple of weeks ago. I've been ill. But, you know, I want to help this community. I want this place to be a place of salvation and of healing and of deliverance. I want this place to be a place where people can come and find refuge. I want to help people. There's so much hurt, there's so much pain, we can't do it. We need the Lord's help, and He's more than able. But He does use people. And so it's very important that we be at our best. Very important that we have no lazy bones, white cells, sleep in the car when they should be on the move. It's so important that we be at the top of our game, that we be strong, that we be vibrant. I love this church. And you all do a lot for in proportion to the size of this congregation, and I thank God for that. But I want to be as healthy as we can possibly be. So we will pray to that end that our church is here for this community. Our church is, you know, a powerful vessel in the hand of the Lord. But we need to be sure we get, you know, we get our hurts, and our sufferings and those things in perspective. I'm not saying we need to make them go away. Sometimes we can't do that. But we need to make sure that Jesus is front and center in our lives. Father, we thank You for this time. It's such a privilege for me to be here this morning. I'm just amazed, Lord, at Your goodness and Your faithfulness. You are no more faithful to me than anyone in this room. You love everybody here, Lord. You want to raise them up. And You want to impart spiritual strength, spiritual health. We're a strong church, but we want to be as strong as we possibly can be. We want a strength that supersedes and transcends our own human strength. So, Lord, would You empower us this morning to be the church that You've called us to be. That's our prayer, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.